with a quote from my late father. My unmatched perspicacity, coupled with sheer indefatigability, makes me a feared opponent in any realm of human endeavor.
Hey there, welcome to the Conversations with Uncle Kevin podcast.
Hello guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today, man, we have a problem. We have a massive problem. So I was out here reading news, and the first thing that I saw from the Washington Post, it goes, TikTok and Meta ban self-described misogynist Andrew Tate. What an interesting article. And I started to realize that, you know, there is a big problem in the world. We spoke about this a few months ago when I made a video, or I made a commentary on what was happening with Whoopi Goldberg, and what was happening with Ted Zuma, about the world that we live in now being weird in terms of companies and businesses, in terms of what is a business's corporate social responsibility, in terms of digital media, you know, how much of an impact and of a role does companies like Facebook, TikTok have, you know, what's their role in society and how much impact do they have on our day-to-day lives. In 2016, we saw how Facebook, you know, affected the election. And now in 2022, we're starting to see how much of a hand they have on cultural impact and social impact, in the sense of how much control they have. If you don't know the story that I'm talking about, it's about a guy called Andrew Tate. This guy has been blowing up for the past few weeks and months through social media. You know, it's like anywhere you go, a clip of his pops up and it's like, yo, who is this guy? And as much as hard as you try to ignore him, he's just there. He's in your presence. And the thing that happened with him is he had interesting takes, different takes from a lot of us, from a lot of people, you know. And a lot of times he say things that I would not say out loud, but I would be like, yeah, I agree with this brother on certain things that he's saying. And as a content creator myself, I was like, yo, whatever he's doing is quite interesting, because the algorithms don't play on all these platforms, be it YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You know, a lot of times as content creators, we're constantly trying to find ways to be at the mercy of algorithms. You know, you're constantly coming up with titles that are enticing. You're constantly coming up with different methods of ways of trying to create content that people will appreciate. And the one thing, when you see a guy like Andrew Tate rising up, you're like, yo, I wish that was me. You know, there's a part of you that's like, I wish what I was doing was working to this part where the market is responding very well to him. And a lot of times, you know, people will follow in that same type of content. But the thing is, for that type of content, it has to be authentic. It has to be who you are to be able to pull it off. I could not pull some of the things that he said, you know, because I don't have the history. I don't have the, you know, the things to back up some of the things that Andrew Tate says. But the one thing that affected me, or that I picked up on, was when he started getting banned, I was like, yo, there's a problem here. Because one of the things that they kept bringing up is, he is a threat to young men. And I was like, how is he a threat to young men? Like, based off of the content that he creates, you know, how is somebody a threat to young people if he's speaking from, you know, his truth, is speaking whatever his rhetoric that he's pushing, and there's an audience that's consuming it? How is that being a threat? Just because a certain group of people does not believe in what he's preaching and does not want a group of young men growing up with these ideologies. So does that then make him a threat? And the question is, what's the ideal? What ideology are we trying to push? And do we now live in a society whereby either you do the things that certain groups of people want you to do, or get banned and you don't have access to this media platforms that we operate on? And it made me start to think about, like, the real definition of like, what is social media? You know, like, what does social media actually, what are we doing? You know, because these platforms, my belief, especially with platforms such as Facebook, was there were platforms whereby societies could come along. You know, I remember Mark Zuckerberg going on and on about the mission of Facebook is to connect the world, connect everybody through the internet. Connect, you know, he spoke a lot about connection. And I had the belief what we were trying to do was to bring society from our real world to the internet and accept each other as different individuals and be ourselves on these platforms. That was always my belief of what social media is. But today, we may have to Google what that actually means. What does social media actually mean? All right. So a quick search says social media is websites and applications that enable users to create and share content or participate in social networking. Social media is a collective term for websites and applications that focus on communication, community-based input, interaction, content sharing, and collaboration. People use social media to stay in touch and interact with friends and families and various communities. So when you read things such as this, it makes you think like, oh, that's what social media is. But I feel these businesses have grown. They've outgrown their own definitions to the point of whereby they are no longer just social media platforms and whereby we can show up and interact as society and, you know, move from what we are as in our communities to these global platforms whereby a person here in Vancouver, Canada can be in touch with somebody in Romania, touch somebody in the UK, somebody in Africa, in Zimbabwe or in South Africa or in Ghana, and we can have interactions in real time. And what then happens is as societies, as communities, we have people with different views and viewpoints, right? So if you take, for example, churches, religion, you have Muslims, you have Christians, you have atheists, you have these different groups of people who believe in different things, who meet up and do different things. And what you have is amongst all these people, there's a group of young people, I bring up young, who are seeking certain information from certain individuals. And this information can come from your religion. So take, for example, again, if there's a religious leader who has a message that he preaches one day, and that message then through social media is able to reach a massive group of people who consume it and believe in that message that that person is preaching and going, oh yeah, I actually was thinking of this and I vibe with this. Does that then make that preacher a threat or even an influencer to this group of people? Because whatever he's preaching and these people agree with, you know, it means this audience is seeking this information that they're getting, which they might not be getting from their religion. So let, for example, do not come for me, but if you're a Christian and you hear something that, I don't know what they're called, but a Muslim, say, preacher, teaches, and you pick up on it and you believe in that message, does that mean that Muslim teacher is a problem to the Christianity society? And then should the Christians be like, oh yeah, this guy, his message is a threat to us and he should be banned from our platforms? I think that's a problem, because the problem is we're failing to see that the most important person here is the audience. The audience wants to consume certain content that's being created, right? And a lot of content creators are constantly trying to find ways of creating content that audiences want to digest and want to have. That's the goal. So when you then look at platforms like YouTube, Instagram, these platforms have these algorithms which state how content is distributed, you know, that state who gets to watch what. So when you have a guy like Andrew Tate come out of nowhere, you know, I don't believe he came out of nowhere, because I used to watch him from the Fresh and Fit podcast. And through my research, he was also on a Big Brother. So he didn't come out of nowhere. But what happened for him is in the past few months, he just started to blow up. Like everywhere you go, his messaging was there. But the reason that is because algorithm, what it did is it realized there were people who are willing to watch these videos There were people who were saving these videos. There were people who were staying on platforms just to watch these little clips of him that were coming up, meaning that there's an audience that was being served and was consuming his messaging. And through that, a lot of people have then been exposed to the same content who maybe the content was not made for and who did not appreciate the rhetoric or did not appreciate the messaging that he was preaching. And then that group of people then says, no, ban him because he's preaching a different message. And the problem then that we have is when you have platforms such as Meta going, oh yeah, we agree with the people, he should be banned. The question is, which people are you agreeing with? Because these videos have over 1.5 billion views. That means there's 1.5 billion people who watched, some who are supporters, some who are haters, but that group of people that your algorithm picked up and was like, yo, this guy, he's preaching a gospel that people are willing to buy and listen to that benefits you, until it did not. Because what then starts to happen is you start to have pushback from certain groups of people who this message does not support. Who are these groups of people? I've read of people such as women. Women have been saying, oh, yo, whatever this man is preaching is false and it's stupid and it's, you know, whatever terms that have been used. But the problem is, when it comes to the truth and the society that we live now, is there's a delusion that happens. Because a lot of times, as being men, we have been put in this box, which is very difficult to escape, right? Because we live in a world whereby a lot of things have happened in recent memory that have changed how society has operated and how the definition of what a man is or what a woman is has changed, and we have disagreed a lot on these things. And what has happened is, for a lot of time, men have now found themselves in a situation whereby society has turned on you and has this thing whereby, oh, we need to change men. We need to change the definition of a man, what it is, because women now have power. Women now have an understanding of who they are, what they stand for, what they want, and all this. And for men, our identity has been lost. Because there's no longer like wars that are happening. The society has developed to a point whereby what used to give men purpose has gone away, to whereby you now have to reinvent yourself. And in most cases, for most men, it's constantly looking for that, right? There's a consequence of generations of fathers who have not been involved in their children's lives, and there are consequences to society and mental health and all these issues, to whereby people are constantly looking for someone to look up to. And what has happened is we've been left with a certain message that we've received of, oh, this is what women want out of a man. And then what then happens is, when the man comes around and says, oh, no, that's not what you want to be. What you want to be is like, this is what a man does. And men are constantly looking for that voice. The problem then is, because the gospel he's preaching is different from the gospel that's being preached by a different group of section of people, we then have a problem, because that group or section of people which then says this brother is a problem to young men is like, wait a minute, who are you to say that? You know, who are you? Who are you? Like, come out and say, this is me. So, like, for example, the article that we're going to read, you know, from the Washington Post, this was posted on August 21 by Brittany Shammers. Let's read it. In videos splashed across the internet, Andrew Tate, a one-time kickboxing champion, 10 self-styled men's help guru, is argued that women are the property of their husbands and should have kids, sit at home, be quiet, and make coffee. He has claimed that he needs authority over the women he dates, saying, you can't be responsible for a dog if he doesn't obey you. He has said he would attack a woman who accused him of cheating, and described himself as absolutely a misogynist. His fans have called him the king of toxic masculinity. Tate's content has rapidly spread across social media this summer, raking up millions of views and raising concerns about the impact on boys and young men who come across it. After seeing his popularity spike in recent months, he has bragged about his reach. Now Tate has been banned from TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. In a statement to the Washington Post, a TikTok representative said Tate's account was removed for violating company's policies that bar content that attacks, threatens, incites violence against, or otherwise dehumanizes an individual or a group based on attributes including sex. Meta said it had removed Tate's official accounts on Facebook and Instagram, pointing to policies against dangerous organizations and individuals. Tate, a 35-year-old American-born British resident of Romania, who ran an online education coaching program called Hustlers University, did not immediately respond to a request for comment on Sunday. Other social media influencers, along several organizations that have supported survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence, had called for him to be booted off social media. Hope Not Hate, a Britain-based group that launched a petition calling for Tate to be deplatformed, described him as dangerous. The effect that Tate's brand of vitriolic misogyny can have on the young male audience is deeply concerning, Hope Not Hate said. His content is widely celebrated by his fans for having brought back traditional masculinity. However, we also know that misogyny can be a gateway to other extreme and discriminatory views. The group noted Daily Beast reporting that Tate's home in Romania was raided in April as part of a human trafficking investigation. No arrests have been made and Tate has denied wrongdoing. Tate first gained notoriety in 2016 when he was kicked off the reality TV show Big Brother. The BBC reported after a video surfaced that appeared to show him hitting a woman. The pair later claimed that his actions were consensual. In 2017, he sparked online furor after posting on Twitter that women should take personal responsibility and protect themselves against sexual assault. In the thread posted in reaction to the sexual assault claims against Harvey Weinstein, wrote, "If you put yourself in a position to be raped, you must bear some responsibility. I'm not saying it's okay you got raped." Twitter permanently suspended his account as a result. Tate initially had a following among far-right circles on social media. NBC News reported he dined in 2019 with InfoWars editor Paul Joseph Watson and Pizzagate conspiracy theory propagator Jack Posobiec. Another proprietor of conspiracy theories has called him a friend. He made several appearances on InfoWars. But it is in recent months that Tate has gone mainstream as videos and podcast interviews featuring took off on social media and it climbed on Google searches. By August, he had more than 4 million Instagram followers, videos tagged with his name, and reportedly been viewed 12.7 billion times. His sudden ubiquity did not happen organically, The Guardian reported. Paying members of Hustlers University's were directed to bombard social media platforms with these videos, selecting the most controversial to boost engagement in what experts described to the news outlet as manipulation of the algorithm. Among videos that gained traction was one in which he advised his followers to slap, grab, choke women in the bedroom, and another in which he said he dates 18 to 19-year-olds because it's easier to leave an imprint on them. Many of the videos that have drawn viewers on TikTok appear to have been posted by Tate's followers. A TikTok spokesperson told the Post, "Our investigation into this content is ongoing, and we continue to remove violative accounts and videos that promote misogyny and other hateful behavior." Responding to criticism over his comments, he said in an interview that he plays an online character and coaches men to avoid toxic people as a whole. "It has nothing to do with hateful women," he told the outlet. Yet Tate's influence caused another alarm that an Instagram account aimed at classroom teachers created a guide for addressing his views with students. Groups aimed at helping domestic violence survivors argued that allowing his comments to remain on social media platforms normalized misogyny and violence. Zainab Gulumali, Policy and Public Affairs Manager at Women's Aid in Britain, told the Daily Mail, "Making derogatory comments and videos about abusing women is as dangerous as it's unacceptable. This normalizes the misogynistic and sexist attitudes which are the root of all violence against women and girls. Sexist actions and language that reinforce women's inequality have been tolerated for too long," she added. "It is vital that we all challenge these deep-rooted misogynistic attitudes, which normalize women being emotionally abused, belittled, and controlled, as well as physically harmed." So, as I read this, there's a lot of issues that pop up. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of issues that pop up for me, which the first thing is, like I said, I don't know Andrew Tate. I'm not a follower. I'm not a member of the Hustlers University. I do not follow him in any capacity. But I've listened to some of the things that he's had to say. And I listened to his final video where he was saying certain clips of him were taken out of context and, you know, spread through the internet. And the scary part about the internet, we all know, is especially if you're in content creation, is any long form video that you make, people will just take a 15-second snippet of it. Might be you explaining something and then they'll destroy you. I've made videos on this as well. You know, Joe Rogan comes to my head. And the thing is, like I was saying, we have a problem in society because we now live in a world where we don't contextualize the things people say. And when we don't agree, we run to ban and we ignore the facts. So, for example, the people who are calling for him to be banned, you know, gender-based violence groups, I see their point and I can understand where they're coming from, because when you have a person that can influence people to do certain things, you have to stop that person's influence by any means necessary, right? You want to stop the issues of gender-based violence. But then what that does is you're taking away from the real issue. The real issue is someone is comfortable in perpetuating and doing gender-based violence. You know what I mean? Like the reason a man hits a woman, like, or becomes violent, for me, it's no excuse to say Andrew Tate influenced me. That's nonsense. Like, that's just nonsense. Like, you cannot say I consumed this audio or this video and it made me wanna hit my wife or wanna, you know, harm my partner, because that there's an issue within your own psyche that pushes you to do stupid things like that. And what I feel is we live in a society whereby people only are interested in the what happened rather than in the why it happened. And as long as we are asking ourselves, what happened? Oh, they watched this video and then that video made them believe it was correct to go and hit women. We are then ignoring the reality of, no, that's not actually the reason. You know, there's a reason why people do the things that they do. And in most cases, you just have to ask them, why did you do what you did? And in most cases, they'll answer that question. So for me, just to be like, oh, we don't want this content and the influence that it has on young men, it takes away the reality of young men speak. You know, young men are in these societies talking. They're seeing this behavior, either from their parents or people around them, that then influences them and makes them think it's correct to hit women. But what you have to do, if you do not want for people to hit women, for people to be engaged in GBV, the solution, in my belief, is there's need for education and there's need to show people like there's a different way of communicating and having conversations. Like when you feel frustrated, this is how you mitigate and handle your emotions. What should be happening is allowing people like Andrew Tate, with the influence that they have, to educate people on how to handle emotions and how to handle yourself within a situation when you find yourself speaking to a woman and not knowing, like, oh, I'm being rejected. What does that mean? How do I operate? There's need for conversations to happen. And when we look at some of the things that were brought up, man, come on. When you're saying, oh, he says a woman is his property, the essence of it, statements like that come from the belief of what a relationship is, in the sense that someone is with you and you believe that that person has the certain things that they have to do within their relationship. And I do understand the autonomy that women and men have within relationships, and only you and your partner can agree on the context of the relationship, on terms of like, oh, are you going to do ABC for a guy, and is that guy going to do ABC for you? You have no right, but it's within your own agreement. And I feel we now live in a society where people are like, oh no, what we want is to be in relationships, but we only want the good parts of relationships and not the bad parts. So listen, society has benefited men for a long time. And I do not believe there's any man out there who's like, I want to give up the privileges and rights that came with being a man. For example, you know, if you go to work and you come home, food is made, your house is cleaned, and all this is done, why would you ever think, at what point do you think anyone's going to say, listen, we are now living in an equal society and I want to give that up? Like, that's, no, people can nod their heads and being like, it's cool, but after an 8-hour day of work, you don't want to show up and start cooking and stuff, right? And I do understand conversations then have to happen to be like, yo, this is no longer the 60s. But as well, we cannot then ignore that to say, oh, people did not feel that way, right? For example, another example I can give you is the issues in pay equality. Like, listen, I do understand that women are underpaid. Pay them equally to me, but do not take away from my pay. That's the conversation. And these are things that most men want to say but do not know how to say, right? And then when someone comes out and preaches that, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to give up my $50 an hour because you're making $20 an hour. It's up to the company to pay you $50 an hour, but not for me to be brought down to $30 so that you can make $30. Like, that doesn't make sense. And I think that's been the issue. So there are the things that where I start having problems with firms like TikTok, Facebook, YouTube is we cannot live in a society whereby a certain group of people has control over everybody. Because what happens for the next creator, you know? What happens for me if I do say something that a group of people do not agree with? Does that mean I run the risk of not being able to put out my content on your platforms because you guys do not want a world whereby people can speak their minds, especially men, in terms of things that we agree with, things that we speak about in locker rooms, in gyms, when no one's there? It's the same content we're bringing to the platform. What I think that is troubling is the sense that, you know, Andrew Tate he perpetuates misogyny and he perpetuates all these things. The idea is that, but we see these things in movies. You know, it's been happening. It's, if you look at films such as Peaky Blinders, the way women were treated in Peaky Blinders, if you look at shows Breaking Bad, these men have always been attractive to other men. And what happens with guys like Andrew Tate is they become real life people like this that people look up to and people are constantly looking them up. So are we going to be in a society where we start saying, oh, no, that character in Peaky Blinders should not be allowed because he's a bad influence to young people? Young people have been influenced by media for the last 28 years that I've been on this platform, on the platform called Earth. So what I feel like these media companies, TikTok, Facebook, and whoever, instead of trying to have these PR moves where you ban people because a certain group of people do not agree with them, there should be need for you to come out and say, on this video that you posted, you violated this policy of ours, you know? And I, Jenny, in the policy department do ban you. And then we know, like, oh, this is why the brother was banned. But then to just say, oh no, his videos influence young people to do the wrong thing. And then the question is, who influences the young people to do the right thing? And who are you to be the judge? You know, we stand up and fight for tech companies when the governments try to get their hands within them and say, no, the government should let tech companies move. But at this point, I feel like we're living in scary times, because these people, I do understand businesses have the right to refuse your business, but governments have to step in because these people have power. This is massive power. Like, the man has 12.7 billion views. He's banned within a day. His account's gone. Like, think about that, how scary that is, and how you as a content creator have to be very careful with your wording. But what type of content are we then creating, and what are we watching when everything has to be politically correct? I feel like that's a big, big problem. In terms of the raid, the brother has explained what happened with the raid. I don't know if I should believe him or not, but, you know, he can only speak for himself. He says he was spotted. So, yeah, you know, these things happen and they continue to happen. In terms of his take off, listen, the thing is, you know, when it comes to cases such as rape, it's always a sensitive issue because we look at the victim and, you know, and at no point do we ever want to point fingers, but there are certain cases where we're like, yo, you also have to take a form of responsibility for the things that do happen. And it's if you put yourself in harm's way, you know, God forbid anything happens to you, but I think there's a difference between how men view life and how women view life, because as men, I feel we have this thing where we know if you don't want the smoke, don't go there, right? It's do not go into an environment where you know something could happen. And do not be naive to be like, oh, nothing will happen to me. If I see a group of five men walking with sticks, I'm not going to walk towards them and be like, nah, it's my rights. Don't touch me, you know? Or I'm not going to walk past them and say something stupid, which can get my ass kicked. And the thing that as men, we then take that same rhetoric and same knowledge and take it and put it towards women when they become victims. And for women, they're like, oh, no, I trusted this man and then he raped me. And then for men, it's like, oh, but what were you doing in his house at 11 o'clock at night in his bedroom? Like, what did you think was going to happen? Because I think as men, that's how men look at things. Yo, it makes no logical sense what you're saying. Protect yourself, you know, because that's the first thing is brothers, we're told, protect yourself at all costs, at all times. So those takes, whilst distasteful, they are takes that brothers do believe in. So you live in a society whereby it's like, oh, how can you say that? But the thing is, you believe it. You know, so we got to live in a time, man, where we start to really think of what we're trying to achieve as a human race, as people, and how much power we want to allow these tech companies to have over our lives, and how much PR stunts will affect us. Okay, fine. Tate is gone now. They try to do the same thing with Fresh and Fit. We've seen this with Trump. We've seen this. But the ultimate question is, what do we do now? Because it's getting scary. This stuff is getting scary. The way that you can just be banned because you said something that's off and nobody's willing to have a conversation where they can educate you based off of your views and show you a different light. To Andrew Tate, man, I don't know this brother. And to his followers, you know, yeah, let it be a learning moment. Don't run your mouth. That's seeking the smoke and it came with it. We all know. But we really have a problem in our society because this cancel culture cannot be allowed to keep on being around, man, because it messes up how we move. And these hate groups will constantly win. With that said, I hope you guys got some value out of this. But what do you think of the case of Andrew Tate? Do you think he should have been banned? And do you think that any moment someone does and says something controversial, they should be banned? And does this then result in new platforms being built that allow people to speak their minds and be different? Because I think we now live in a society that's forcing us to be the same. And that's not a good thing. See y'all next week.